This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
For some reason, the topic in the studio has just turned to Pedialyte and hanging and curing hangovers.
Yes, very important.
It's hour three.
Preventative as well as curative.
Of course it is. Do it, do it, do it. Because Pedialyte just came out with an adult version of their stuff. It's cherry flavored. I have some samples that were left over from New Year's Eve. And I'm assuming it works. Pedialyte for years has worked to help you regain your electrolytes and recover from hangovers.
Yeah, and hangovers are just dehydration. You're just suffering from dehydration.
Right, yeah. So it just helps you. So I've got extras for you. You're welcome to take them with you. By the way, earlier in the show, we talked about all kinds of different things. If you want you to listen to it, you can on demand. 24/7, the show repeats all the time on QTalkAmerica.com. You can find the link there. Also, if you want to listen on demand, go to the website, click on old shows, and listen to stuff that we said that we regret. And now, Al Perkins.
Katie June's got a couple more regrets, so we'll I love you, Katie. We will start with the first thing that I remember from all that. The Kennedy Center Honors, where an absolute delight again this year. Classical pianist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was Philip Glass.
Philip Glass? Yeah.
Philip Glass, wonderful. I forgot how many movie scores he has done. Just wonderful. The jazz thing wasn't particularly my favorite, but I thought that Esmeralda Spalding.
Yeah,
what a fantastic voice.
Yeah, she came out.
She's got a good future.
Yeah.
I thought the Hamilton thing, like Kat said, was a little premature, but nicely done.
Premature, but good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, we gotcha. Getting people back into the theater mode we were talking about Glenn Close and the year that she won her Tony for Sunset Boulevard. There were only two musicals nominated because musical theater was in the dumpsters. Mm-hmm. And then Rosie O'Donnell brought musical theater back. Anything that opened, she had on her show. Mm-hmm. She kind of got people going back to New York and seeing theater. So we're happy to anything that keeps the art of musical theater going. Who was the first one? Now I can't remember.
Reba.
I thought her tribute was really well done.
I did too. And I told you, I said, because I didn't know much about her. I'm like, I think I liked her more than I thought I would. Like, she seemed great. And did a lot of stuff.
Dead, right? Yeah.
Like, I was like, wow,
she died in 1991 in a plane crash.
I never knew she was on Broadway. I was like, geez, Andy she really had.
Yeah.
I'm like, Reba's legit.
Yeah.
Took over for Bernadette Peters in the revival of Annie Get Your Gun, and by all accounts was quite charming in it. It's not a tough show. It is cruise ship quality.
But that's good because they found a good range for her, right?
Well, you just do what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally. God, bitch. We saw that show with Bernadette Peters, and it was trying on the nerves. Yeah. But it's an old warhouse. You know, you're bringing an Ethel Merman show back from the dead.
It can't
do what comes naturally.
I couldn't even. If I would have heard her singing, I probably would have taken a gun to the audience.
Oh, wow.
Because that would have killed me.
The Al Get Your Gun.
That show was.
The Al in the shooting.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson is one of my favorite people.
Oh.
And
I told Al. I mean, she's a little different, but when she sings.
Oh, my God. But she's a little
perfect.
Different, but she's so fucking who she is.
No, I love. No, that's why I love her.
She is so.
Aaron got me that for Christmas.
And she can just
go to see Kelly Clarkson, and I'm
she
so
just opens
excited.
Her mouth and it's like, just I am all. It's all
and
over.
And she's
with.
Just so authentic. That's just her.
Yep.
Totally her.
I don't think
and
she has a lip sync performance in her because she just sounds too good.
And no attitude.
Yeah. And I love that she just, she was on the,
Diva.
Who just died?
Oh.
There's
so many people.
Detroit.
Who just died.
Aretha
Franklin.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When she was on that special about Aretha and just, she's like, and then she was just sitting there and she just, just like belted out this song and it was like, holy shit.
Yeah. She's just terrific. Just terrific. And all the country bands. And then they went to Cher, who it turns out, we got to just.
Fucking Adam Lambert.
Everything. Yeah. Adam Lambert with his beautiful rendition of Believe. That was absolutely stunning. A beautiful voice. I like anytime they throw out the headphones
because
they're getting some kind of ringing in their ears or something's not quite going right. Just sounded so good.
And
so good.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, when he sings, it really comes
out. It's one of those things that, I don't know, I never heard that song with that message before.
Yeah.
Like, I know, the words are all the same. I get that, but it's like, It's sort of like when you take a song and they play it in a minor key. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, right. That changed the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden it's sad instantly because everything like, in a minor key is
Jingle Bells in a minor key is not near.
Oh, my God, the deer. The deer.
We were dashing through the snow.
Okay, so again,
Grandma got run over by
don't take my hat off or try to kill me about this one either.
This is the second time you think we're going to assault
you. Because I saw him, Buddy, what's his
name? Early?
Early.
He doesn't like anything.
No, but here's what some of the critics were saying. They were like, okay, you can love, and they were like, and it Adam Lambert's good. They're like, that version was done 3 years ago on Britain's Got Talent and it rocked the world. So basically, some of the critics were like, that's not new. Like, he's good.
But that's the first time.
But they were saying the other one was better, but I haven't seen it.
They were saying it's really good. On his year in Idol, you had to do a song from the year that you were. Yep. And so he did Mad World by Tears for Fears.
Oh, wow. Yep.
But he didn't do Tears for Fears version. Mm-hmm. He did the version from Donnie Darko. Mm-hmm. And while we all know the Mad World from Donnie Darko, it wasn't original. He just gave it something different. Right. So maybe not the first person to do that version.
Yeah.
But it was very effective.
I thought it was beautiful. Right. And so did she.
Yeah. And so, she wiped away a tear, which who knew she still had those ducks.
Yeah.
But it was. And then. I don't care. Cyndi Lauper just can get a lyric across.
I love her.
Celine Dion is singing about a car. Cyndi Lauper drove all night. Like, you just know. Yeah. And all of a sudden, if I could turn back time, it had a little bit of an angst to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it had Cyndi there, who just has a way with lyrics. Yeah.
And I loved her. When she opened for Cher on so
they
many.
They toured.
Right.
Yeah, a couple times.
That's one of the times I saw her.
Me too.
Yeah.
And she was the highlight.
Yeah, she was.
Cher didn't perform a bunch.
Cher did more costume changes than singing.
A lot of times Cher does the thing where they just play clips.
I would go to see Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
I love Cher, don't get me wrong.
But she was brilliant. Yeah.
If you pay money for a front row seat to Cyndi Lauper, you're stupid because she's back in the 15th row.
Right, she runs around.
Right. Yeah. She runs around like a crazy.
And I like how just open mic in the deal when she walks out and Cher's like, "You said you were in L.A." And she's like, "I lied."
There were so many things like all the decor. Because they wanted to be a surprise.
Is that because they wanted to be a surprise?
Oh, well, apparently, I don't know if Cher invited her to go with her or what it was.
They wanted her to be surprised.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean, obviously, it was Cher screaming from the balcony. Right. Mm-hmm. That made me laugh. I'm like, wow, the Kennedy Center Honors. And then they did an encore, which I have, in all my years watching, I've never seen them do any kind of an encore. And they brought out Adam Lambert and her to do I Got You, Babe.
Which is charming.
Which was adorable.
And it was just, of the audience was like up on their feet and dancing and into
that. That was great.
But you see old white people like, oh, they knew that song 20 years ago. Got it.
Well, okay,
before any of us were born. And that's from 1963.
Well, no. I mean, like, turn back time and all that. The 90s. Yeah. Well, this 80-year-old guy, he was 30 years ago.
Turn back time is still 30 years ago, too.
My God.
I love that Nancy Pelosi sitting next to Cher.
And John Roberts.
Yeah.
Was there.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Two of my favorite things about
Supreme Court guy.
Oh, John Roberts.
Kennedy Center is to see what politicians are in the audience. And my other one was, because now we've seen so many of them, and it is embarrassing, and I laugh, but it's cute too, so it's okay. It's like, because that's a kind of, it's a different echelon of people. Is how many old white people are trying to be hip and cool when they're like in the audience,
and some of them
clapping on the one in the three.
It like makes me, I'm like, just don't even bother. Like, you can't.
And then there's some that you're like, wow, I didn't know you had it in there.
Right.
No. And there's some woman from not the one from NBC in the morning. There is some. She was at John Bon Jovi's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then she's at this Natalie Morales.
Oh,
I don't know who she is. Some woman from NBC News is hooked up into that scene. Either she's married to somebody, but she's at every event like that.
And Jake Tapper was up there too.
Exactly. So she's married to them, or I don't know what, but it's just crazy.
She gets her ticket.
Yeah, gets her ticket punched.
So that. What the hell is that? So that was, again, it's just,
it was enjoyable.
One of the highlights of the year is what they're going to do, and you never know who you're going to end up liking at the end of it.
Right.
And Jenny is spot on. Cyndi Lauper stole
Jenny,
the show.
That is spot on.
Absolutely spot on.
I'm trying to think. The last time I saw Cyndi Lauper was she was in L.A. somewhere with Meatloaf, and she was the opener for Meatloaf, and half the audience walked out when she was done.
Sure, I can believe it.
Like,
We're only here for the Lauper.
Only here for the Lauper, and she was so good. And that was when never went near the stage.
No.
She was in the audience, standing on the seats.
Sure.
And I always said about her, if she can really hit that money changes everything notes in real life, she's the real deal. Uh-huh. And this was like 25 years later, and she just stood on the back of someone's chair and unhinged that jaw.
Which is hard for, as we know, you told me one time. I'm like, wait, what just happened? You're like, Doug, when old singer, they go down, not up.
You're like
right. Stevie Nicks is going down on that one, not up. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, and she just like unhinged.
Yeah.
Okay, are we going to talk about Golden Globes?
Yeah, so we'll go there next. So the Golden Globes were...
I thought they sucked, but they always kind of suck.
Yeah, they do. They're
that's
the ones
good.
That I never...
You can fast forward. That's right. What's the good part.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones I never used to take off for because they didn't used to be live, but then their ratings got a nice little boost.
Sure.
Because of what's a few years ago, Ricky Gervais, then Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and then they wanted live audiences.
Yep.
The one thing they do, though, is they're more good... they're better for TV because they like to be they like to set the trend for like, here's a show you're not watching. Mm-hmm. We're going to shine a spotlight on something. And one of my favorite things that they ever did was the X-Files. When the whole world thought the X-Files was good, but the Emmys was snubbing their nose, they didn't just nominate Gillian Anderson for Best Actress in a Drama. They gave her the award.
Yeah.
And like if you ever get a chance to watch the look on her face when she wins.
Yeah.
A Golden Globe, and then later wins an Emmy. It's crazy, and like they did it with Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. They did it with Mozart in the Jungle.
Did they do it with Rami Malek from that?
They did it with Christian Slater. They did give They did give iRobot an award, but
he won Emmys for that.
Yeah, but he never won for never won a.
But
Golden
I know
Globe.
What you're saying. They will get your attention with something
because there's only 90 of them, and nobody knows who they are. They're this little organization that hides in a garden somewhere. You can write one article in an overseas newspaper, and all of a sudden you're part of this mysterious organization
That never gets any bigger.
But
they're up to 90. They used to only be 78. Yeah.
Well, that's the joke. Is someone said I saw someone on the website one time said. You know, the Golden Globes are stupid. They're like, you can actually win a Golden Globe with 24 votes or something.
And now,
I was like,
and now it's like
what?
Two more. It's like, now like it's 26. Up to like 26 because
but that's stupid.
91.
I couldn't figure out the Patricia Arquette thing. Like, because I haven't seen Ben Stiller.
Yeah, the Escape at Dannemora.
No, that looks so good.
No, but it was Amy Adams.
Right. And we talked about this in Entertainment a couple weeks ago.
Sorry, guys.
That Patricia Arquette, like, that role is so career-changing that she probably will start raking in awards. I just wasn't expecting it to start already.
Okay.
Because only one episode had aired when they nominated her. Like, it's on Showtime, and they're going week by week.
Yeah.
So each week I'm watching a new episode.
Not Showtime.
I think we're at 6 episodes of the series.
Okay.
They just escaped.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, they have just escaped, and now the manhunt continues. It's that interesting story about the prisoners in upstate New York that got out of the high-security prison, and the search went on for like a month.
That's why she was talking about her teeth.
Oh, because it's completely... Yeah. She's doing the whole...
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's all fucked up makeup, and it's a great
because
role.
She's playing the security
the
guard.
Woman that helped
the
them.
The woman that helped them.
Right, and so to kind of give you a little bit of balance, like now Glenn Close and Herwin was talking about playing such an internal character, and that it doesn't... Those are not the ones that usually wins awards. It's usually the ones that's more stagey with...
Right.
So that's the Amy Adams doing a very internal Jean, whatever his name is, valet, that director that doesn't use a lot of dialogue and how they were fighting with him. They didn't want it to be so ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this big showy, all this prosthetics and like all this stuff going on compared to Amy Adams, where it's all told in a dream and flashbacks and everything like that. And the person that has the showy role was the mom, and she did win.
Yeah, she
did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's that kind of... thing that it actually got discussed, but the Golden Globes are completely made up.
Yeah.
You only need 26 votes.
They're stupid.
You can wine and dine them.
They are.
Pia Zadora won one because her husband bought it for her.
Do you know my favorite?
Sharon Stone.
That's my favorite thing about.
Yeah, Sharon Stone took them all out to dinner.
No, she bought them watches.
She bought
every single. Because if you think about it, you're Sharon Stone. Do you have money? So what are there 90 of them or 98?
Now there's 90.
Every single one of them received a watch, like a. Nice watch, not Rolex, but a nice watch. And I thought that made me like her more. I'm like, this bitch just is gonna get her publicity.
You know, and they like movie stars. They want movie stars. That's why, like, they'll nominate the stupidest movie. They nominated that Angelina Jolie movie a couple years ago that was just awful with Johnny Depp. Because they want movie stars.
That was
in
awful.
They want movie stars in the front row.
Yeah.
And they'll release, they'll nominate them before like anybody has seen them.
Okay.
Because they get there first.
But I'm not going to lie. I'm excited about the fact that they did that Regina King.
Oh, yeah.
So first of all,
so the thing is, so we were all set up for, with the Golden Globes, we were all set up for that it was going to be a Star is Born suite because they already, they wasted an award on Lady Gaga a couple years ago for an iffy performance.
A horrifying performance.
I don't remember.
In
the worst
American
acting
Horror Story.
I have ever seen in my
entire
life.
She was in a
life.
Season of American Horror Story. And they got to have Lady Gaga
That's
on
when
stage.
I stopped watching that show. Yeah. If they give her five more minutes, I'm going to kill myself.
Sorry.
The worst, which is, I'm happy, I haven't seen, but I'm happy to hear that she does a really good job.
She really does.
The worst actress in the world in Ryan Murphy's hands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that did not go well for her.
But
this
really
does. Unfortunately, this was a great performance in a really mediocre movie.
Right.
So everyone thought, like, the Golden Globes are kind of like the TV side is where you expect things to happen, and the movie side, everyone thought there'll be no surprises here. Like,
right.
A
but
Star is Born is going to
win everything. Right.
But unfortunately, the Golden Globes changed all of it.
Sure.
There is no one that's going to go on a straight march to the Oscar. Like, you know, last year they fell in line. Although they...
I remember you talking about
their big
about
thing
how
last year,
things, right.
They're the ones that killed Laurie Metcalf's Oscar. Because they started it right away. Laurie Metcalf was winning all the things for Lady Bird.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they picked Allison Janney. Mm-hmm. And Allison Janney gave a great speech. And all of a sudden every award after that went to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Allison Janney, and she won the Oscar.
Okay.
And this is also your audition. The Golden Globes have two things. They get the TV things, and they give you a chance to give your first televised speech.
Okay.
And do you get it done so people want to keep seeing more of your speeches?
So how rigged is this?
That's why...
How
it's completely rigged.
No, that's why Glenn Close's stock just went up.
Right, so now we'll go with that.
Because we have to talk about that.
So the big...
I haven't seen that.
For the first time in my life, I'm not going to talk about Glenn Close.
Well, we're going to run out of time. That's the problem. So
I tried to warn you all earlier how long the show was going.
What
I can't help
I'm
it.
Fine.
Okay, so we'll start with the things that were just all the... There was just surprises the entire night, and I didn't get to watch it till the next day.
And I didn't see the Glenn Close thing, so I'm excited about this.
It's very good.
You'll find it on YouTube.
Patricia Arquette for Escape at Dannemora. Mm-hmm. Everyone assumed that Amy Adams was going to take up one Golden Globe. She's nominated for three.
Mm-hmm.
She went home empty-handed. Performance by an actor in a limited series. Darren Criss wins again and expect him to take home the SAG Award, too. Everyone is just convinced this has put him on the map, and we're just done.
That's exciting.
Performance by an actress in a supporting role. Patricia Clarkson for Sharp Objects. Again, that's the showier of the three female roles.
Who else was in with Amy Adams? It was Amy Adams, Patricia Arquette.
Oh, we'll get there.
I'm
going
to
read them out loud.
Oh, got it.
Connie Britton from Dirty John, Regina King for 7 Seconds, and Laura Dern for The Tale.
Britton.
Yeah.
Connie Britton.
I haven't watched Dirty John yet, and they nominated that one before it even, not even one episode had aired.
It should have been Amy Adams aside from that, but we are watching that because
I have it all taped. I'm ready to go. I am sick of the Penelope Cruz getting nominated for American Crime Story because I thought she was the weakest link in that entire
and
show.
And total overacting.
Yeah. Just totally.
I didn't
like
that show that much.
You
know what? And Derek Chris, I'm sorry, he just alluded to, in his speech, he said it was a really grim story, and then he went on to say something else, and I was like, just stop there. It was just too grim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just, I'm like, I can't watch another week of Who's He Killing Next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry. I just didn't like that show very much.
The book of all her favorites.
Well, I think it was a lot more personal for you, too.
No, that's
right.
Too. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing just turned me off.
Yeah.
Ben Whishaw, who my friend Kevin...
Thank you for remembering that, Mommy.
Yeah, of course.
Kevin, that I go to movies, has the biggest crush on this guy. One for a very English scandal.
His hair.
His hair
was so good.
Just cracks me up that this guy has been on my friend Kevin's radar for so long. And I tried to watch that show, but I thought it was called a British scandal, and I could never find it.
Okay.
So now that I know it's a very English scandal, I will find it. Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Nice.
How is she going to lose? Especially since the season that they're running on is season two with that Catskills episode.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. Michael Douglas for The Kaminsky Method. That's a show your mom is watching and loves so much.
Okay.
And then it got Best Comedy. Sandra Oh in Killing Eve, which I am, goddamn it, all my cable fucking channels, I'm going to find this motherfucker.
Yeah. Everyone loves that show.
Everyone has been talking about that show, and it's the supporting actress on that show that's getting all the attention, too. Killing Eve.
Killing Eve. BBC.
BBC.
Thank you. Okay.
And BBC is terrible about on demand. So okay. if you don't watch it when it's really on, it's really hard to find on demand on there. Okay. Actor in a television series drama, this is where they really went off the rails to get someone's attention. It was Richard Madden for The Bodyguard, or for Bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Bateman is getting nominated for every award there is in every single guild. Never okay. hasn't won one yet, but mm-hmm. everyone loves mm-hmm. Ozark, but no one is willing to give it actual okay. statues.
Who else was in there?
That was Billy Porter for Pose, Matthew Reese for The Americans, Stephen James for Homecoming,
Matthew Reese, the
one with Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the soldier.
Yep.
I thought he was terrific,
yeah,
too.
But
and this Richard Madden for Bodyguard, like that was the time where they really went with something
right?
new. Yeah.
Okay, so the person who plays, and it's Eric, not Eric Bana. Is it Eric Bana? Who plays Dirty
oh,
John?
Oh, it is Eric Bana, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That fucker is...
Oh,
I mean, we
knew about him a long time ago.
No. But the thing is, so did I. But this, yeah. because we were, we listened to this podcast, Dirty John, as we were driving from,
okay. You're
like
from
all
the podcast
over.
Part.
We listened to this whole thing, right?
I listened to the way to California.
Picture.
Yeah.
We have this
Who
picture.
Plays the mom? I can't wait. I have it all taped. I have all.
Oh, the Jean Smart.
Oh, my God.
Killing me.
Yeah.
Killing me.
You have no idea.
She's, to me, she's the villain.
And you know the voices? Oh, totally.
That's who I hate the most.
But I'm intrigued to see what your thoughts are because they tweak it just enough that I'm like...
Because I am not waiting.
Why are you making her... I think that they've made her... A more sympathetic character than they should. And I'm like, oh, hell no.
I'm not sure how many people listened to that podcast and found her to be the villain that the rest of us did, but I wanted to put a knife through her neck.
But her, you know how the daughter...
mom is just pure fucking evil.
Tara, the youngest one,
uh-huh.
she kind of had a little voice like this, and I wanted to punch her and really kind of, you know, punch her in the throat because her voice was just grating. Mm-hmm. Oh, they found somebody.
They
really did.
Like,
they found
like what's your face from Big Bang Theory?
Right,
they're out there.
Like, yeah. Huh. But I'm intrigued to see because that he was is because we still have.
I'm not watching it till they're all in.
No, and it makes sense. What he's just creepy to where you're like, what the fuck? Like it gave me the chill. And we know the story, and we know the ending, and we know doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I'm like. Well,
I'm surprised by how long they're making that, but I listened to that podcast in like one ride, so
yep.
So American Crime Story wins, and I was surprised. I thought Sharp Objects would win there. Mm-hmm. The Kominsky Method for comedy, we talked about that. Television series drama, The Americans, they went back and finally gave
so
The Americans an
that.
Award. Yeah,
I've said for years that's the best show on TV that no one watched.
Yeah, I do. I
so
actually
good.
Remember you guys talking about that.
Oh, it's amazing.
I see it, but I've never watched it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry Russell and Matthew Reese are perfection.
Yeah, so good in that. Best original song, and this one is for your Oscar too, is A Star Is Born, Shallow. Mm-hmm. It really does follow all the rules of the Academy of why you get nominated for best song. I think that's just a lock and just mark your ballots now.
That's
a win.
Mm-hmm.
Screenplay, motion picture, and a big surprise, Green Book wins.
Yeah, they love Green Book.
Over Vice, which I saw. Run, Don't Walk, go see Vice. If you like The Big Short... Vice is
same
terrific.
Vibe, huh?
Dark humor. And I mean, belly laughs out of some of the most gruesome shit you can imagine. And Dick Cheney being funny, I can't.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not.
But
it's
it almost
not that
has to be.
It's not that they're making a comedy, it's just the absurdity of his evilness.
Because of how dark he is.
Because of how dark he is. And it really is.
And then
is
he
Lord
shot
Vader.
Someone in the face.
Yeah, Lord. Oh,
oh
Dick.
God.
What did you do?
Yeah.
Just like there's so many times.
Well, and Sam Rockwell is as
W.
Holy shit. Again,
really funny.
Where you're like, no, but I mean, just the way he looked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's astounding to me, the makeup.
Yeah,
that
and,
was
and
good.
If you saw the awards, Christian Bale's.
That was so good.
His acceptance speech where he said they wanted somebody with absolutely no charisma, totally unlikable, and they said, hey, let's get Christian Bale.
Such a good self-awareness about that, right?
And then he said, you know, I thank you, Satan, for the inspiration.
And did you see? I saw just today the right auntie all up in arms about that because, of course, over something that stupid. They're all upset because he thanked Satan and was comparing that to...
Santa just is white.
Yeah.
Santa just is white.
Like... Chomp and W were dumb. This one was smart and had power.
Yep.
But the real thing with
Clayton
this,
looks bored.
No, yes. I'm good.
The screenplay thing.
Clayton
I really
Santa,
think
he's just white.
I heard that somewhere before. From
when
a white
woman. When the Oscar nominations come out, expect the favorite to be the winner in this category. But it all depends. No, actually, it depends on how they do original and and adapted, because Green Book is an adaptation. Best Motion Picture Director, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. We talked about that
beautiful
with Marissa
movie.
When she was here.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely gorgeous. But Spike Lee might win his first Oscar.
I hope so.
Get his first nomination for Black Klansman.
Give him an Oscar.
Which, if you have not seen it yet, is actually much lighter than the title would suggest.
Much lighter.
It is a very, very, very well done movie with
huge
a nice
tone. Is that the one with Adam Driver?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Who's a big star now.
And I think Adam Driver is going to win the Oscar.
I do too.
Really?
Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second. Okay. But I think that's where that's going.
I'm glad you liked that Black Klansman as much as I did.
Supporting actress Regina King for Beale Street Could Talk.
She's going to win an Oscar.
What do you think about
but
that movie?
She's not nominated for a SAG. It. So the thing, I think it looks fantastic. It isn't out
think
yet.
She's
if it is
so
oh, no,
well
okay.
Liked.
That's what I wasn't sure.
She's good in everything. She doesn't really have a bad performance.
She was in what was the TV show that was
American Crime?
American Crime.
Amazing. And she was the best part of it.
Oh, I agree.
Well, Felicity Huffman was good too.
Yeah.
Yes, but Regina King
and Regina King is very
well
respected.
Depends, in both seasons.
And
I liked
fucking funny and other things.
I liked her better in one, and I liked Felicity Huffman better in the second. Right. I liked Felicity Huffman better in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
But Regina King is not nominated for a SAG award. That does not bode well for her Oscar chances. Okay. Amy Adams will join the club of six times nominated in a loss. Mm-hmm. So we got to see how the
should be the Deborah Kerr.
Yeah,
Carr.
Well, she'll be the Glenn Close.
The Glenn Close.
She's one nomination away from being Glenn Close.
Okay.
So, but I think Amy Adams is going to win the Oscar after seeing Vice. That is, she is not the wife. She has it's a fantastic role in a really solid movie, and you really are expecting her to just be the girl. And, oh my God, does Lynn Cheney have a lot to do and say?
Really?
Turns out, while her husband was having heart attacks, a lot of those evil plans were hers.
Oh,
and Amy Adams just plays the shit out of it. And it's good to see. It's like American Hustle good.
Okay.
So, I haven't seen if Beale Street Could Talk, because it hasn't, played anywhere yet near here. Actor in a supporting role, the fuck-up that the Golden Globes did a couple years ago was they gave the guy from that movie that I hate, what the hell was it called? It had Amy Adams in it, too.
Pay it forward.
It's that goddamn director that makes everybody look pretty, and their movies are awful. That Tom Ford movie that I hate.
A Single Man.
Nope, I hate that one, too. But then he did another movie that I hate that was just with Jake Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams and Fisher.
Oh, the really dark one.
Yeah, it was awful. Awful.
Fisher.
Awful.
Yeah.
But the only good part about it was that Aaron Johnson, Levitt, Pruitt guy. Well, they gave him...
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Look at your new friend, Aaron Clayton. Say bye.
Oh, see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Very nice, Aaron.
A couple
Thanks
years
for
ago,
us.
When Mahershala Ali was winning everything, he did not win the Golden Globe because they gave it to the guy from that god-awful Tom Ford movie. And everybody, when he won, they were like, what the fuck just happened? So they kind of owed him a Golden Globe for their assholiness a couple years ago.
Okay.
Not that he
Nocturnal
terrific,
Animals?
Nocturnal Animals.
That one. Okay. That's it.
If there was going to be a movie worse than A Single Man, it was Nocturnal Animals.
And just more depressing.
And I will never
Scatter
go to another...
My ashes
I will not be tricked
dorks?
Into another Tom Ford know. Movie just to watch people be painted up pretty and bore the crap out of me. Sam Rockwell for Vice was nominated to his W.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam Driver in Black Klansman, the irony will be... Not irony, but the shitty thing will be if in a movie about black people the white guy
the
wins
white guy
the
wins
yeah
right,
that
right,
would be
right,
shitty
right.
Actress in a
just like Driving Miss Daisy
Al's
favorite movie of all time,
and that's what the criticism against the Green Mile is.
Let the bitch walk.
Let the bitch walk.
Let the bitch walk.
The criticism about Green Book is that it's Driving Miss Daisy in reverse.
That's the first time when I saw the commercial, I'm like, that's going to be horrible, but it's getting rave
reviews.
And
it's a very light tone. It's a really good movie. It's very solid.
And I'm usually not a big, I mean, I know a lot of people are, but I'm usually not a big Viggo Mortensen fan.
Oh, I like him.
I know a lot of people do. I just am, you know, usually I'm like, you know, he's good and whatever, but I
he did the wonderful movie
be okay either way.
The family that lived in the wilderness, the family living off the grid last year, the year before, he was so good
Mel?
In that.
Chickabee. Swinging in a wind. Chickamay.
Okay, so performance.
Clayton's not bored anymore. Yeah.
Performance by an actress in a motion
picture. She's reenacting Nell. What the hell?
Oh, my God. Chickabee, motion picture, Chickabee. Musical comedy. The big competition here is that Olivia Colman won for The Favorite. And so there is a super good chance that she's going to win the Oscar.
And I don't want her to.
Other one from Stone, right?
No, that's Rachel Weisz.
Rachel, okay.
And then Olivia Colman plays the queen.
She's the queen.
Okay.
And it's a terrific movie. It is laugh out loud funny. And there's
Okay.
My God. It is. I was expecting a period piece.
Me too.
Where there was two funny parts that they put in the thing. And the movie is start to finish funny and intriguing. And you just love it. So Olivia Colman is the big competition now with the way it all played out. Christian Bale won. We talked about him for comedy. And that Vice is a musical comedy. People are in all the wrong categories, but Vice really is, it's just so goddamn dark that you can't help but laugh.
Well, so
like Fargo? Like so kind of a Fargo kind
darker,
of thing?
Darker, way.
So, Al, so this is the criticism I saw the next day. They said, how was Bohemian Rhapsody and Star...
You get to pick.
Not in musical.
Because you
but could, they were both musicals.
They
so were
both
like,
musicals.
Hey, Golden Globes, you fucked up.
Right.
Well, a couple years ago... Wolf of Wall Street was listed as a comedy because it was kind of funny, but you pick your category. So the Globes don't tell you what category you're going to be in.
Okay.
The movies tell the Globes, we want to be considered as this, because you have a choice.
Oh, so this was Orange is the New Black kind of a thing.
Right. Why is that a comedy?
Right.
That's just where they entered themselves, and then they made the rules.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that's how you entered yourselves.
Yeah,
I thought
so Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star is Born.
He's
both
looking
asked,
at his watch.
Yeah.
No, I got an alert.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Either way, I'm still going to keep talking.
Okay, no, I know. I'm not.
Jenny, breaking news. Jenny's reporting that, oh, my God, I love this. Viggo Mortensen was married to Exene Cervenka from X back in the day. Good God, he makes him
I have
even
zero
fucking
idea
cooler.
I don't even know what
that seemed like a lot of
work. Oh my God, are you kidding? You don't know who X is
from
the 1980s? Oh my God,
I have zero idea what's happening
his,
up in that sentence.
His points just jumped.
No idea.
Oh my God. Okay.
So now the part of the Oscars that might be true. And so, best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Now, the drama one is the one that usually, most of the time wins the Oscar.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The comedy is just kind of a goof-off. But they usually get nominated. The winner of the comedy, actor, and actress usually get nominated somehow, unless it's a completely pointless thing. Like, everyone's, like Barbara Streisand in A Star is Born 40 years ago. We're like, no one's nominating that performance.
Not going to happen.
So, I mean, the Golden Derbies, all the critics, everyone said the Golden Globes wanted Lady Gaga on stage.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to win Best Actress. Mm-hmm. He was going to win Best Actor, and it was going to win Best Picture Drama.
Okay.
This was just set in stone because of how all this talk we've done about how the Golden Globes operate, what they're after, what they want out of life.
Right.
These are their needs. So this was the part of the show that was going to get really fucking boring.
No.
So the first thing they did, Best Motion Picture and Actor Drama, they nominate, she's going to get nominated anyways, Glenn Close, and then she wins.
Okay.
And because no talk show, TV show predictors had anyone but Lady Gaga winning, her surprise is genuine.
It's real.
Because you figure once you've lost 7 million Oscars, Golden Globes, and SAG Awards, you've probably started to watch the odds and find out if you should even show up.
Yeah.
So her look of absolute shock and lack of a speech,
Or
lack
of a written
thing.
So she beat out Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
In the Globes. See, that's what I'm saying. I didn't see that part. I haven't finished watching.
You have to watch as she walks up because they embrace and they...
And because Michael Douglas won the year of Fatal Attraction, Michael Douglas wasn't nominated for Fatal Attraction. He was nominated for Wall Street. So he won an Oscar the year that she lost for Fatal Attraction.
Okay.
So the first person that comes up to her as she's walking up in her standing ovation is him to congratulate her.
I love it.
And then Gary Oldman gives her the award, and you can hear him in the mic say, "I saw this performance. You were wonderful."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you hear it, and it's like, and somebody had to, I was watching, because I wanted to watch those little fuckers at Gold Derby get taken down for saying that nobody else was going to win but Lady Gaga. Right.
But I'm not bitter.
No.
I wasn't going to vote for anybody else. I did not believe that the Golden Globes did not want to be part of Glenn Close getting her Oscar.
Yeah.
Like, I did not for once believe whoever these 90 people are, they don't want to be the ones that started the march of Glenn Close on her 7th nomination, finally getting her Oscar. So I was kind of expecting it. Glenn was not in her speech about
it's so good.
About motherhood and being the movie took 14 years to make because it was the wife and the fact that it was a very internal performance and she was surprised by the recognition.
Okay. I was trying to figure out what
then
was
talking
the movie,
about how her mother
and then her mother sublimated herself to her father and at 80 years old she felt like she never accomplished anything and that we as women. We're supposed to be nurturers, but we need to, like, fulfill our dreams, and we don't need to ask permission.
And then that's when the stand people
started
standing up.
And then she got a second standing ovation.
Oh, wow.
And again, it's the importance of that speech when that first award show rolls around and you give that speech.
I'm so glad you're saying this, because I don't think people realize that. Everyone's going to want to hear that again on Oscar night. And I don't think they are going to care what Olivia Colman has to say.
No. Although Olivia Colman's speech was charming. Yeah. She gave a very Emma Thompson.
I heard they said it was salty.
Yeah. She was just fun. Cute. She got to fly in a private jet, and she was all
excited.
And
everyone loves her.
Yeah, and so we have the BAFTAs to watch. We have the
Would that be like a? I'm sorry to interrupt you. No. The from Fargo, Frances McDormand kind of speech. Like,
very much so. Patricia Arquette saying, "We fought for all of you. Now it's time to fight for women's rights." So it really was, and like the people on Gold Derby were like, "How did we not see this coming?" And I'm like, "Cause you're dumbasses. They got."
But when Regina King got up there, she was talking about, like, because I had never heard of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, about her son, but also
and
saying,
James Baldwin.
Just going right back to, but take all of that out of it. Here's what I heard super loud and clear. Thank you to the publicist people. I need to thank because they were putting this movie out there.
Oh,
They were calling everybody.
It didn't open until like right before, but this movie has been on everybody's radar because it played at Toronto and just blew everybody away.
And, I'm so glad you brought that up because it was subtle, but she even said, because people like hate publicists. And, and she said, this is going to sound weird, but I want to thank the publicists.
Oh, but you have to because that's who gets
it's like when people think they're lawyer and people get all mad. And she's like, but it's real.
Because
like,
the publicist is calling the Golden Globes every day and being like,
pushing
have you seen this performance?
Movie
because the HFPA people don't make it to Toronto all the time. Some of them do,
but I thought that was interesting. It's the first time I've really heard. I mean, people will thank.
Well, that's how Weinstein did it all because Weinstein's publicist. Oh, that's how. That's how all those movies have Oscars because he did the publicity.
Okay,
so I mean, there you go. So then in Best Actor Drama, no one really thought Bradley Cooper. Well, they did think Bradley Cooper was going to win. Who am I kidding? Rami Malek pulls it off in a movie.
But not a huge surprise.
No, not a huge surprise. Because the internationally, Bohemian Rhapsody is at like $700 million. Good this is a movie
Lord.
That died in the tracks because the director got fired.
It took 900 years to make.
Yeah, because and then...
Did you end up seeing it, Clayton?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely terrific. And a terrific performance. Okay. There are some other good movies out there, but when you have the zeitgeist in a movie that's made $700 million. Now, Star is Born's made more in the U.S. by a couple bucks.
Okay.
But internationally, much better taste.
And the
Bohemian Rhapsody
happy about
is so...
That.
I mean, a Star is Born, you just want to get the fuck out of that theater.
Yeah.
But...
That's good to know.
I mean... Aaron just cried through the whole thing. And
I didn't cry. I just hated myself for crying.
She was like, why did you bring me here?
Yeah.
Like, well, sorry.
It was kind of like the worst seasons of Glee. Like, you like the songs, but it like kept changing tones. And
it
like,
did. It was like,
and you're like, how did we end up here?
I actually enjoyed it personally because it was, the way I sit and watch movies is just, was this a good waste of time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the music was,
And it was. Yeah. And I enjoyed Lady Gaga a lot.
I did too.
But the rest
she
of
she needs
I'm
a
like,
better movie.
She is super talented.
She needs a better movie.
Well, it was very hard
for
me to listen.
Well, I think she's
going to
get one after that movie.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
It was. I just enjoyed Andrew Dice Clay being in it.
I love him. By the way, I just love him.
Yeah.
Did not know it was him until the end.
I know. That's what you had said. And I was, the minute I saw him come downstairs, I'm like, son of a bitch.
And I love that Woody Allen puts him in movies. I'm like, that's just so great.
Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. He's in Blue Jasmine.
Oh,
okay. I forgot about that.
Because, but it was
so. He's a very good actor.
I had a lot of difficulty listening to Bradley Cooper play Sam Elliott. Play marbles in your fucking mouth. Like, get that shit out of your mouth.
Wash your goddamn hair.
And wash your hair.
Wash your hair.
And I just didn't understand how they went from, like, this organic kind of thing to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that was my problem. Like, it was the worst season of Glee.
How did you...
The worst season. But and he just how is nobody mentioning but that? He just got a Directors Guild nomination. Yeah. He just stole someone's perfectly legitimate. Sure. So, and then the biggest shock of the entire night, I mean, for everyone, it didn't matter what you were thinking, was Best Picture Drama wasn't Black Panther, Black Klansman, if Beale Street Could Talk. It was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Oh.
Took home the one prize that they usually take very seriously, and that's where they want to match the Oscars.
Okay.
They'll fuck around on the comedy, but they want to get that movie right.
Sure.
So all of a sudden, Bohemian Rhapsody, which everyone assumed might take that last place on the Oscar, because it's 9 movies now, that there was a chance at that much money, Bohemian Rhapsody might be a lot of people's favorite movies. But now all of a sudden you're like, this might half of that movie was directed by no one. They fired the director.
Right.
And no one directed the last. Somebody just got brought in to rescue it.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. This movie got shut down like 5 different times.
I knew that part, but like I didn't realize
2 years to make.
Yeah, they all had to scramble. And that's why all the speeches were about thanking them for saving the movie because they had no director.
I stopped at the Cecil B. DeMille award.
So
that's where I haven't. Yeah,
I liked it.
I haven't seen him come up there yet.
We really shouldn't say anything about it because it's that good.
No, I'm excited to watch that.
I will say this. I didn't realize, just such an artistic person. It seems a little goofy, but just go with it because he's an artist.
He really is.
Yeah.
Now, who were we talking about?
Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
When you're watching the
it's really kind of sweet.
Of everything that he's been in.
And I didn't know 7 Academy Award nominations.
Yeah.
I didn't know
because he's been sneaking them in since the 70s.
And they show my favorite movie. They show clips from Last Picture Show, and that's all you need to see.
And I haven't.
And I'm trying to think, is that the one that he's not nominated for?
No, he is.
Oh, he is?
He is.
Yeah.
Because then there's Starman, there's The Contender.
Right.
There's all these little movies that you're like, oh, that's right, he got nominated
The Fisher
for that.
King.
And all of a sudden, he didn't get nominated for that one.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're at 7.
I'm so glad they showed Fearless.
Oh, Fearless,
my favorite
too,
movie.
Yeah.
Fearless I agree really with good. That. I have seen that one.
Rosie Perez. Mm-hmm.
So then the Directors Guild for your scorecards at home, the Directors Guild, Bradley Cooper for A Star is Born, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, and Alfonso Cuarón should want to drive over to Bradley Cooper's house and slap him for being nominated in the same breath for one piece of shit movie compared to the gorgeousness that is Roma.
If you see the beautiful
Peter
Roma.
Farrelly for Green Book, which the Farrelly brothers, all those idiotic Jim Carrey movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one brother is now up for a Director's
making
Guild Award.
Quality
Me, myself,
films.
And Irene's director is now making a serious racial
Oscar
drama.
Oscar contender.
About race.
Okay.
Spike Lee for Black Klansman.
I hope
Adam McKay for Vice.
Liked
which
it.
Adam McKay is all the stupid Elf. What's that guy's name? Will Ferrell movies. Adam McKay is all the Will Ferrell movies.
Okay.
That all of a sudden this is going to be his second Oscar nomination. And then Yorgos Lanthimos gets in for the favorite, which is a surprise. But Bradley Cooper really should not be on this list. It should be, what's his name? I think his name is Coogler. The guy that did Black Panther should really be there. Ryan Coogler for Black Panther.
So
that's who should be there. So that's kind of a shame. So that's your thing for... So A Star is Born is now 8-for-8 with Guild nominations, and that's just stupid.
So what about Octavia...
executive producer of Green Book.
Of Green Book.
Yeah, so if it depends on if she's executive producer or producer.
Okay.
EPs don't get nominated for Oscars, producers do.
Okay.
And then they have to go, you only get 3 nominations for producer, or you have to apply and say why the 4th or 5th person gets nominated.
But what did I miss that Octavia Spencer is now producing movies? Like, is that where
we're just going to ask that question?
She's got money now. It's the same with Jamie Lee Curtis.
But from where?
But I mean, from The Help. Well, I would assume.
No, does she really have that much money?
If you're an executive producer, you don't need money. That just means that the company that you have is throwing some money at it. If you're a producer, then
it just surprised me is all I'm saying.
Right, but it depends on EP. That's why I have to look at the credits. Are you a producer or are you an EP?
EP
is what you throw at everybody.
I thought it was exactly the opposite. I was always told executive producers are the money, but they don't make the creative decisions.
No, that's producers. PGA awards. When you see the credits.
I would think like an executive producer is just kind of like, here's a name that
the EP, that's the if you ever see State and Main, shut her up. Give her an EP credit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And that's what they'll start to
make things happen.
No, that's producer.
Well, and
I think
so,
it's
but
both.
Octavia...
well, an executive producer...
I don't know if I agree with that.
Mostly comes from the company. So let's say it's made by Plan B Productions, 20th Century Fox Productions, Paramount. Mm. Then the people that produced the movie originally and made that movie get their producer credits. And then all those people that came in and gave them money, Plan B Productions, 20th Century Fox, Paramount, they'll get a production credit, and then the executives will get an executive credit thing. So those companies will make money off distribution, but the people listed as producer, PGA, and now they all make sure to have PGA, like Adam Sandler has PGA after. Like, once you get there, you want to be nominated for an Oscar. If you get lucky, like Brad Pitt is the producer of 12 Years a Slave, but then Plan B is the company.
Okay.
So he's in there. He could be listed as an executive producer, too, because he's the executive at the company that made it, but he put up the money for 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
He got an Oscar. Leonardo DiCaprio helped get Wolf of Wall Street made, so that's why he had to petition to be nominated as producer for Wolf of Wall Street. He wasn't one of the original three, but he helped bring it to screen.
Okay.
I read these things like the Bible.
No, but that's where with Octavia Spencer, that I'm with
but
you.
But we have to find out, is she an executive producer or is she a producer?
Even take that out. I was trying to figure out if the help, because that's where I first saw her.
Oh, she's been an actress for a while.
I didn't realize, and so I saw her in that, and then she was in that TV show with the sick kids, and then the whatever. But
then you have to read up Sandra Bullock would only make Cruise 2. What was the movie called? Speed 2.
Speed 2.
She could get the money to produce Hope Floats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she said, "I'll do this movie for like $1 million, but you will,
even though it's shitty."
Because
Hope Floats was worse.
But that's why you do the
third. Oh my god, I love
Hope
Floats.
That's why you do the third movie in a franchise or something, right? And you know why you love her?
Yeah.
Because she told them, "I'll take fuck you money for this stupid ass fucking movie that no one's gonna see."
Yeah.
But you will make. And so now Sandra Bullock produces most of her movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Siskel and Ebert, I'm not kidding you, gave 2 thumbs up to Speed 2.
Oh God.
And my favorite,
was awful.
No, I know. And they loved it. And my favorite thing ever, I know you're going to get mad about Hope Floats, but it's my favorite film review ever from a critic said, Hope Floats, so does shit. Yeah. And it's a lot more interesting to watch.
Oh, I don't care about that. That's what I mean by that waste of time kind of stuff.
I'm going to have to go back and look at executive producer credit.
I've been reading about this for years.
I'm going to say that I feel especially Al is good.
I know. People wrote checks, they were like, I'm not having any creative. I'm just going to make sure this gets done. They would give him EP credits.
Okay.
I know. They made jokes about it on Entourage.
Right. They make jokes about
Executive producers often are just check writers.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Right, but the people that make the money off of it are the producers.
Sure.
Yeah.
EP is something that...
They make the money, but the EPs...
Spend the money.
And so when they were saying... that's all I'm saying.
You said it the other way before.
Where the fuck does she get... That's what I meant. When they said Octavia Spencer was an EP for that movie, I'm like, where did she get any money to start writing checks for movies?
Then you look through. Well, she's on Mom all the time. So then you look through and you find out what movie did she make for a portion of the back end? Like, where did she say, I'll make
this
movie?
It's like on the down low, because she's not a marquee name, but boy, she's got some money.
She's getting there.
No, she certainly
is. And this could be her first adventure.
Well, because...
Well, let's see. She has 8 credits as a producer.
Hidden Figures.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm
sorry. I knocked the rocket noise first.
Yeah, I do appreciate that.
Yeah, that does let us know where we are.
So Green Book, she's listed as executive producer, but something called a documentary short called from 2008 called The Captain, she's the producer. So
the captain with Tom
producers
Hanks?
Make no, the movies, right?
The producers are the ones that they so there's like there's different ways, like an independent movie.
When two people love each other.
when a man loves a woman.
Right. Take Dallas Buyers. You got to take a movie that, like, Dallas Buyers Club got made for, like, some minuscule amount of money.
Exactly.
But you can't get that distributed. So then you have to sell it to all these different people. So they're going to give you the money for distribution or to finish the film.
Yes.
Those are the companies you go to, and those are the executive producers.
That's what I was saying.
That come in for those companies.
Okay.
But the people that get nominated for the Oscar are the ones that made the movie originally.
We're in totally agreement now.
Right.
Okay.
And when the money comes back.
The signals got crossed.
Whatever you sold.
Right. The producers made the movie.
Right. Whatever percentage you sold to those executives. They'll get that percentage back, but the producers get the credit.
I got it. No, I got it.
Yeah.
What happens when daddy loves mommy?
One of them becomes an executive producer.
Right.
So
then they get divorced.
And then they get divorced, and mommy takes all of daddy's money.
And then the other thing Well, we're just, we started at 7:15, so now we just sit there.
It's gone totally off the rails.
So on, well, Aquaman, a delightful waste of 2 hours and 15 minutes of your time. As pretty as Coco, like a movie so, there was like three or four times I just wanted to stop and be like, I'll just make that artwork in my home. Like, it was gorgeous to look at. And they don't make him like the Dark Knight. He's not like trying to secretly save the world or be all brooding and thoughtful.
Nice.
He's just a beer chugging asshole that happens to be part fish.
Good to me.
Yeah, and Aquaman. Oh. And
that was like a Brita commercial. He's trying to get clean water somewhere. Yeah. I didn't know what it was.
And it has a like Black Panther, it has a nice like social message about keeping the oceans clean and the ocean dwellers that hate the earth. Hate the people on the surface because they're killing our oceans. Yes. So it had a nice little environmental message. Oh. And he's kind of in between saying humans aren't awful, but yeah, we pollute too much. And the people underwater are like, we're going to kill those motherfuckers because they're ruining the oceans and that's where we live.
Yeah.
So it had some interesting parts to it, but beautiful special effects. I mean, it was just gorgeous to look at. And then anytime he has his shirt on, you're like, why am I here? Take the shirt back. Because that is just a nice looking man. But he's just playing.
Are you kidding me?
He's just playing like a goofy longshoreman guy.
So hot.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of
that's
got to
do
swim.
Something for you, Marnie.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Okay. I can't express. I saw him on Saturday Night Live, and I was
horrible.
I just don't get it.
I love because I watched it at Al's house, and I told Al because I'd already seen it because he records everything. And we were with Marissa, I think.
Yeah.
And I said, it's horrible, and he can't. It's really awful, and he cannot act. No. And Al's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it kind of did. It was not very good.
Yes, Jenny. So that's how it goes. So the producer. There's only two or three people ever listed as producer.
Thank you. Wow, Jenny, that really cleared it up for me.
That really cleared it up. We talked about that. Okay.
Thank you.
So on...
there is going to be a test.
We got to go to Netflix.
That'll be all of the above.
Netflix just hit it out of the park.
Okay.
The week between Christmas and New Year's when I was not in the mood to do anything.
Okay.
Bird Box... I loved it. Some people didn't like it. They're like, I've already seen this movie. You've already seen Green Book. You've already seen Mr. Holland's Opus. You've seen A Star is Born four fucking times. Yeah, I think changed the title or the character.
It sounds like
names.
Something Stephen King would write.
Yes, it was very good. And I was really on the wrong track as to what that movie was about for like the first 20 minutes.
I have
minutes.
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah, don't tell me because I haven't seen it.
My mom watched
it on YouTube.
And she's like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. But I just thought it really, and yes, it has some things in common with A Quiet Place, where in A Quiet Place they had to be quiet, and here they can't look. So there's a little bit of a sensory gimmick.
Uh-huh.
But like, I thought the flashbacks to like how things end, I like anything kind of like how it all falls apart. And I had a different take on what was the common denominator than other people did. But it plays on sadness, and it talks about... when you're affected, you just think of the saddest, all your saddest memories come back to you.
Like
that's how you get infected. It was very,
the scariest thing you've ever thought of. So, right.
But it was very good. And I thought Sandra Bullock and her relationship with the kids and with the hot man from Moonlight was, because he came on screen and I'm like, oh, why am I instantly like teary eyed seeing this man? He's black from Moonlight with the saddest monologue in any movie ever.
Is that his name or his race? And why did you just get racial like that?
Because that was his character. You don't know the character's name in Moonlight. So in the third part, he's called Black.
Just letting you know.
Okay. I wasn't... Well,
just
sorry.
Letting you know how it sounded.
I said that at work, and somebody was like, what? And I'm like, he was called Little when he was little. He was called Black when he was older. And
I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That just sounds...
No, but it's a serious question. And then when you have the time or the flu or a disease or any time you have the time to kill...
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it in Black Mirror again. Not their best movie. You know, it's not as good as some of the other episodes that are in their like long list of episodes. But Bandersnatch is probably the most interesting thing that has ever happened in my living room on a TV ever. I do not understand the technology.
It's an interactive film.
It's an interactive film. It's a choose-your-own-adventure.
They interact with your snatch.
Yeah, they interact with your snatch.
Well, this sounds uncomfortable. You'll feel a slight pressure.
And when the person on the TV starts yelling at you, then you know you've like fallen through some kind of a looking glass. But it really is fascinating.
You have no idea how awkward this is right now.
Yeah, it's a kid in the 80s who develops a video game in primitive gaming days based on a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Okay.
And so he goes to a gaming company to sell it to them.
Okay.
And like when he wakes up in the morning, you get to choose. His father goes, "What kind of cereal do you want?" And you—that's your first choice. Is you pick which of the two cereals he eats. Uh-huh. And I didn't know I was supposed to do it. I was just looking at the screen, and I'm like, "What is the? What is it? What is that at the bottom of my screen?" And then the next thing is he goes to get into his. He gets on the bus to go to the place, the gaming place, and he like looks at two cassettes, and it says, "Should he listen to the Thompson Twins or should he listen to Now This Is What I Call Music Too?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm supposed to choose." Okay. So then I hit Thompson Twins and Hold Me Now starts playing, and I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. Well, then it just goes on, and all of a sudden, like, and it gets you in easy.
Yeah.
And if you, depending on which cereal box is what ad he sees later.
It's good to get in easy in the snatch.
Yeah. That's right.
But as it goes along, you
that's
have to
where
make
movies
really
are these days,
complicated
Clayton.
Choices for him. And, like, at one point, if you choose wrong, the movie just ends, and it says, do you want to go back? Mm-hmm. And have him tell the therapist something else, or do you want to just watch the credits and say that was the end of your movie adventure? And so I was like, well, I want to go back, and now, okay, I'll choose that thing. Mm-hmm. And then you go back, and like, there's one version where one of the characters dies.
Right.
If you choose the one adventure. So then things that that character has to do, other people do it in his, so all the rest of the movie is without him, but the stuff that his character has to do still gets done. And then if you choose the version where he lives, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait. Oh, fuck. I didn't realize that they said, oh, Corey wanted you to have this. Mm-hmm. And instead, Corey's like, you need to have. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's fucked up that he comes and goes. Mm-hmm. And it affects that much further down the story. And I'm like, oh, I don't remember if I killed him off in this episode. And like, and then you're watching the version. You can't remember who you killed. And it's like, and then he's in a fight. He's like, do you want to karate chop him or do you want to kick him in the nuts? Like, that doesn't make any difference, but it makes the fight different.
Okay.
So then I wanted to watch it again to find out, okay, how does the fight end with the karate chop?
Can you watch every version?
I saw all five endings, but there were permutations.
I have a flow chart in front of me.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding. There's
a flow chart. And I want somebody to, because there's one point where he has to call for help, and they call back to, like, the therapist's phone number.
It's a flow chart of all possible Bandersnatch endings.
Yes. Including the three that end abruptly because you chose wrong.
No.
So there's one where he realizes he's in a movie, and then like there's one where like, well, that was a bad choice,
yeah,
because it really happened. It's insanity, and I got caught in this like 3.5 hour loop.
I think that I have made horrible choices for myself in life. I should not.
But
be
at one point,
it
says like he's on the computer, and the choices are: do you want to explain Netflix to him, or do you want to explain the conspiracy theory? So I've chose explain Netflix.
Yeah.
And so here's this person in the 80s sitting in front of like a Pong game. Okay. And you're trying to explain Netflix to him. And he's like, what the fuck?
Oh,
and then he
God.
Goes to a therapist and is trying to tell his therapist what Netflix is. And she's like, I don't even know. You're crazy. That's just insane.
Okay, that's appealing.
Oh, yeah, my God. And right? It gets so meta. And then at one point, it says, do you want to pour your drink on the computer or do you want to bash it with a baseball bat? And he's like, why do I have this urge to break my computer? What are you doing to me? And I'm like, oh my God, he's yelling at me.
Al's hiding behind his curtain.
Oh no, because you do, because you start, he's yelling at you. And he's telling his therapist, he's like, I feel like I don't even, can't even control what kind of cereal I eat in the morning. It's so frustrating. And I'm like, oh, I did pick a cereal for him. Oh my God. But there's so many, there's one point where you have
to. Voices are coming from in the house.
Right. Yeah. My TV is talking back to me.
Holy
but
shit.
Again, it's that fucking.
How much
thing.
Weed did you have?
So, I know,
no.
Right?
This was early
thing
in the
is,
morning.
It's just one movie, but Al was high.
It was a 5 minute trailer.
It's just, that's all it is.
I watched it early in the morning, and at 11:30 in the morning,
high.
I'm like, I have got to get out of this house because this is fucking with my brain. But at one point, you have to call for help, and you have to remember the phone number. And I did know the number, but I couldn't get my remote to work. Like, I wanted to be on a computer where I could just dial a number. I was using my remote trying to, scan back, and you know, because I'm on my TV, where if I was watching on a computer screen, like most people watch Netflix on their computer, you would just pull up your thing and type in the number.
Right.
Oh, my God. It was so... So I don't know what happens if you get... The only thing I don't know, you get to the same ending, whether or not you dial the number right, but there's a whole scene that I missed of who comes to help. I don't know who you call because I could never dial the number right.
Ghostbusters. Now, this has... I've heard if you pick up the family photo twice, the author comes and stabs you, but I haven't seen it myself. Yes, that happened to me. I got that ending. And I actually felt the stab on my stomach for a second, which is pretty fucking surreal. He loses so much blood out of his mouth. I got that scene myself. And it happens out of nowhere, because it looks like the beginning of a scene you see a lot. But What the fuck?
Yeah, it's fucked up. Honestly, if you watch the whole thing, it's what not the best episode of Black Mirror. There's way better episodes that, but it's so.
And I can see that drawing you in.
Because Black Mirror is always, when does it take place? 10 minutes from now. It's always technology. The technology exists because you just did it. Oh my God. And every time I watch, I just love Black Mirror. That is the most, and it's not the new season. This is just something they threw out. Like, we have this ready to go. And his name is Charlie someone, the guy that writes Black Mirror. Charlie Booker. He is a fucking genius. He's like Stephen King good. That he has all these stories inside of him with all these weird twists and turns. It's every wild. Episode of that show is just a mind fuck. And not one of
just
them is...
on the regular show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But and it's because they're all TV movies. It's all you don't need... There's not one thing tied to another.
You can watch them independently.
Oh, they have nothing. None of them have anything. You can jump in at any
point. It's not a storyline.
Okay. No, there is no storyline. The only thing fun is that once you've watched them a few times, you'll realize, like, there's an advertisement for the video game that they're all obsessed with in this show.
Or
they're watching, there's an American Idol show that they're all obsessed with on one show, and that's playing on the TV. Like, there's little Easter eggs that you can find. But there's nothing to do with anything.
And this one had five endings.
Five endings, but I think someone said there's like a trillion different ways to watch it. Like, there's over a trillion possibilities.
See, that's just too much.
Was one of them lesbian bed death?
Probably.
Goddamn story!
I don't know what happens if you get that phone number right.
Whatever. I'm just kidding.
And that's why I knew I had to get up, because I was trying to, like...
One ends with a raccoon driving a Subaru.
That's true.
When I met Erin fucking Callahan, I was trying to explain to her NPR raccoon night.
Yeah.
It didn't go well.
All you gotta do is
I was like, because it was funny to me, and she was like, I'm not
on,
really
on New Year's Eve. You had Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, right? And they were talking about the things that just did not, like, they just needed to stop. Nobody needed to talk about these things anymore. And Anderson Cooper was like, nobody needs to talk about that fucking raccoon anymore, basically.
Forever.
And Andy Cohen was, the raccoon is good. And the raccoon, it was, or flip it, and it was the other way. But it was hysterical how they both were kind of like.
They had a raccoon.
No raccoon.
They had thoughts on the raccoon.
Yeah.
But if you have not. If you have insomnia.
Now I'm going to watch it. But I do have insomnia.
Any episode of Black Mirror you will love.
All right.
There's not a bad one in there.
God, that just.
I'm exhausted just hearing about that. Honestly, I'm exhausted.
That's the third time I've heard it.
The fact that I did not call you that morning and demand that you turn on your TV and start watching that. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I just don't play video games, so that would be something where I would... No, I'm saying that would be what you're describing.
Yeah.
Would make me think of like...
But you remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books? Did you ever used to read those?
Absolutely. No. I'm with you.
This is why I watch documentaries. Yeah.
I'm with you, Clayton.
But there's going to be a documentary about this eventually.
I'm sure. And then you'll have to choose. No?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Now, my question, though, because it's a big deal.
Clayton's like, I need to know
about an executive producer.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
We can't.
I can explain it better during movie credits.
By the way, while you were talking, this came in. We've got the notes from Trump's speech earlier.
Oh, no.
These are the bullet points he had to hit.
Wow, they did a lot on that.
Number one, Mexican's bad. Two, wall good. And three, lie.
Yeah, a lot.
I understand that he rang every bell.
Next on Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Good God.
As long as you remember.
Yep.
Oh my God.
That's good stuff.
There won't be an entertainment segment that long again until the night after the Oscars. Don't worry.
Well, tune in then, ladies and gentlemen. Golly. Well, thank you all for kicking off our first show of the new year, and
the extended version.
As we wrap up tonight's show,
3 hours and 15 minutes, that's short for us.
Let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday.
We used to start at 7 and go to 10:30.
I got to tell you, I'm a Yelper, and you're not going to get a good review.